Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, the 29th of September 2020, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, Bill's Story. We're on page 8. We're going to unpack today paragraph 3, and it begins this way. Near the end of that bleak November, and then ends with, I would need it before daylight. The readers today and of service in this meeting are the 12 steps, Reggie O, the 12 traditions, Nicole C, reading the steps and support is Dory P. Reading the paragraph today and the rest of the support is Dory P, Brandy M, Laura R. Newcomer greeter, sponsor info, Amy K today, and Robin P will finish us up with some announcements, so don't go away. The share ID numbers for this 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting for yesterday, it would be Monday, the 28th of September, is 15440, 15,440. And then the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting that happened earlier today, that would be for Tuesday, the 29th, 2020, 15477, 15,477. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Reggie O to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hey, thank you so much, Mel. Good morning, everybody. This is Reggie O in Woodland Hills, California, just outside Los Angeles. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Have a wonderful recovering day, everybody.
Thank you, Reggie O. That's Reggie O from California. I will now ask Nicole C. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. My name is Nicole C. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I am in Morgan Hill, California. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups, or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you very much, Nicole C. from California. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And I'd like to make note here, this is a star 1 key function only for muting purposes today. Thank you so much for that consideration. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, Bill's Story. We're on page 8 today. We're going to unpack paragraph 3, which begins with, near the end of that bleak November, and ends with, I would need it before daylight. And I'd like to ask Dory P. to begin by reading that paragraph, unpacking it for us with her experience, then we'll open it up for the rest of the fellowship to make comment. Good morning, Dory.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you and everybody else for their service on the line. This is Dory P., compulsive overeater from Atlanta. Near the end of that bleak November, I sat drinking in my kitchen. With a certain satisfaction, I reflected there was enough gin concealed about the house to carry me through that night and the next day. My wife was at work. I wondered whether I dared hide a full bottle of gin near the head of our bed. I would need it before daylight. So, that was me less than a year ago. I had no regard for anything else but my booze, which in my case was the food. Because by then it long ceased to be a luxury and it was a necessity for me. I could not deal with life, especially at night. There is something about the loneliness and despair intensifying in the dark. I guess when you're tired or irritable, restless and discontent because you have no other tool but sinking your fork into something or opening a bag or unwrapping that cellophane. And I actually think I could have taught Bill some tricks about hiding his booze because I was a master of hiding both my food and my problems. Things I would do, for example, you know, on the way home, I would stop and stock up on my, you know, necessary items, and I would unwrap my candy in the car and put it in a soft tissue inside a Ziploc bag and place it under the bed on my side. So when my husband went to sleep, I could just reach under the bed and very quietly take out piece by piece until somehow I drifted into oblivion. And I hope I'm not giving anybody any ideas. but I can't help but, you know, but look ahead on the page and what's coming, and that there's hope ahead, just like it was for me last year on a bleak October day when I happened upon a way after I, you know, woke up one morning and I admitted to myself that I can't do this on my own anymore. And I happened upon a way and the big book and then this meeting and all of you, a wonderful sponsor, and I finally let my higher power do the work, which now lets me end my day with an 11-step review and by being present for my family and have a conversation with my husband in bed instead of, you know, turning my back to him in search for that food under the bed. So grateful for the opportunity to serve you today, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Dori. That's Dori P. from Georgia. Thank you so much. Okay, the lines are now open for additional comments on that paragraph, paragraph 3, page 8 in Bill's story. Although we value your experience, we ask that you do limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, please consider making tomorrow your first day to share on the line. But other than that, if you give me your first name, the first initial, your last name, and the state you're calling from so people can find you, I'll take a list.
Sorry, calling N from Florida.
Did I hear Donna? And I heard Sheree.
Okay.
Carol K. I thought I heard a Donna. Hang on just 1 second, please. Can I get a word on whether or not I heard Donna? Okay, I'm not sure that I did. So, and the last one I heard was Santa.
Daisy.
Thanks so much. Daisy?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Thanks.
Robin P.
Robin P.
Deb Raina. Colleen N.
We got a Deb E. Okay, great. And Colleen will get you in there too. And let's stop there. And so this is how I have it. And this is a little bit out of order because I was so stuck on trying to get Donna's name. I have Sarit L. And then I have Carol K. And I have Santa H, Daisy B, Robin P, Dev E, and Colleen. And I'll go in that order there this morning. Thank you for that consideration. So you're up first, Sarit. Good morning.
Hi, Melanie. Hi.
Would you press star one real quick, Sarit, once more, please?
Thank you. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Melanie. Thank you, everyone. This is Sarit Al from Montreal. Boy, do I qualify. With a certain satisfaction, I reflected. It was enough gin, you know, concealed about the house. And I think only us compulsive overeaters know what that definition of the word satisfaction truly means. It's a contentment. It's a different type of happiness than when you're, you know, excited that someone's, you know, having a birthday party or engaged or a member in your family just had a baby. There's a certain like inner contentment that you've got your fix and no one else, you know, has that contentment other than you. It's like when you're in the store and you've just bought your binge goods and you're standing online and you're ready to pounce on them. That's how I felt. I felt like, you know, my husband left the house in the morning. I jumped out of bed, made myself my pancakes, opened the windows wide, gobbled them up, and then pretended to be laying in bed and all good by the time he came back. You know, I had that contentment when people left my house so I could eat, when I was alone and eating, when I had, you know, just, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. And it's like this slave. I'm just a slave to that pleasure. And at some point, it was no longer pleasure. And it wasn't fun. I was on the morning meeting, and I heard someone say, I ate every day like there was no tomorrow. And I just thought that was truly the case for me. Every day I would say, I'm going to stop. So I had to eat everything up in my house so that I would be able to be abstinent the next day. And thank God that what I'm learning here is it's not, there's so much more to life than the food. And I beg all of you to see that. There's so much more. There is freedom from the food, and there's beauty in life. And beauty and enjoyment in other ways, so many more than living in, you know, bondage to food. And, you know, Jin was concealed around the house that would carry him through the night and the next day. And what do I have today? I have God, who has given me such a beautiful, miraculous life. And all of you, my fellowship is incredible. I would never exchange it. That's what carries me through my nights and my days. When I'm in discomfort, when I'm in pain, I can go to the food. I have that choice, but it's so temporary, and it always brings me back into the pain. And really, the real, real pure pleasure and joy comes from walking through and growing through the pain and doing it with my fellowship and being the real me who God wants me to be. So just come on board and taste the real pleasure of what joy and satisfaction mean in these rooms. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much. That's Sarit L. from Canada. Carol K., you're up next, please.
Hi, this is Carol K. in New Jersey. Oh, my God, I sat here and listened to that paragraph. Just by the way, my son may come in with the dog. That's why I don't really share on this meeting, because my house is noisy and loud. But I'm going to hope to God that I can. I'm going to do this fast. So when I first got married, I'm married 38 years. And we started taking in foster kids. We adopted 7. My sister had told me, oh, you can get this free freezer. You get this meat. It's all vacuum packed. It's really great, blah, blah. So we did it. We figured, oh, big family. Well, before you know it, there's a Hostess place. There was close by. It was an outlet where you got everything half price. Before you know it, forget the meats. I canceled the meat. We were going to the Hostess place. My industrial freezer was filled with Twinkies, Hostess cupcakes, Hostess pies, you name it, I froze it all. And this paragraph just reminds me so much of how I'd wait until everybody left, got the kids off to school, husband went to work. I ran down to the industrial freezer. And when I tell you I ate this crap by the box loads, I ate it by the box loads. It was insanity. And then here, the kids would come in, I'd help them with homework. You know, it was amazing because my house was always spotless. I made sure the kids were dressed and off to school, helped them with their homework, da-da-da-da-da. I did all that. But when it came to the food, and I did a good job at all that, but when it came to food, I was so sick. It was a sickness that I just couldn't, I didn't have this program, knew nothing about it. I didn't know how to fix it. I had no clue. And today, I am so grateful somebody handed me this big book over 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago. I came into this program. Have I had trouble with food here and there? Yes. Not understanding the program? Yes. And you know what? It's okay. This is a journey I'm on. It's not a perfective, you know, I don't have to be perfect. Things happen. The important thing for me is I still have my sponsor because I don't want to be left without a sponsor. That's me. I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong. I like having a sponsor. Because her and I are real close. And if I'm feeling certain ways, I could call her up and talk to her for 15 minutes, half hour. Today we're friends. So it's great. It's like I have a friend to talk to. Because venting is okay. With that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Carol K. from New Jersey. Santa H., you're up next. And then Daisy B. will follow you.
Hey, thank you, Melanie. Thank you for your service and everyone who makes this meeting possible. Some great shares this morning. Hi, everyone. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater living in the solution one day at a time. Melanie, can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear, yes. Thank you.
Okay, good. Wow, this paragraph brings up so many memories for me, sneaking and hiding food. I remember right before, days before I came into the rooms of OA, which was through this particular meeting, I went to visit my dad, and it made me think of the development that we'll get to in the agnostic, and I was full of fear. I thought I couldn't be of usefulness to anyone else. It was just horrendous fear. I haven't seen my dad in probably at that time about 15 years. And so visiting for the first time, I definitely was in the foods. I remember going to my favorite store and buying the economy size bag of licorice. And every day I would go to that store and get a bag or two or three because it would be gone the next day. And I kept it in the closet where they couldn't see. And I would constantly go in that closet and eat just enough to soothe my nerves and to calm me down. And I did that up until I had a very spiritual, miraculous experience that happened to me that happened on, you know, that put me to the rooms on Monday morning when I started listening to this meeting. And I also remember when I was married, all of us in the house love sugar. And so it was like a race to see who can eat up all the sweets against another person. So it was very hard to hide anything because we would all be looking for the same thing. And when my husband asked me where are a particular sweet, and he's rationing it out himself too, I didn't have the courage to lie and say I didn't know. So I would keep sweets in my car, keep my licorice, which was my favorite, in my car because my job at the time required me to do a lot of road work and travel a lot. And so that's where my car became my sanctuary. That's where I was able to get my stash, and I would hide it under the car seat. So whenever he used my car, he wouldn't find it. And I would make sure I throw away the receipt so that I had my own stash. And that's a compulsive eater. I wanted to make sure I had the most. I wanted to make sure I had it by my side with me. And I'm so grateful for this program that today that is not my story. You know, 7 years later being in this program, it has been miraculous changes. I couldn't even get me to eat back licorice today, not even taste it. I don't even want it today. Thank you, Melanie. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Santa. If you wanted to give your state, that would be helpful too. It's up to you. Daisy B., you're up next, and then Robin P. will come in after you.
Thanks, Melanie. This is Daisy B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Idaho, although I think the member list still probably says Massachusetts for me. I've been hiding. Can you hear me? Melanie, can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Okay. I've been hiding. You know, hiding food, hiding myself since the very beginning of this disease for me. And I remember being a young child, and every time my mom, you know, came home from the grocery store, and this continued for years, but she'd come home from the grocery store and she bought pretty healthy foods, but she would get us treats. And, you know, I'd find the jar of Nutella or whatever it was and just rearrange all the groceries when she got back and put it behind all the canned beans and just hide these little things behind all the other healthy food. And, you know, the other members of my family weren't compulsive overeaters, and they just forgot about it like normal people. And it was all, you know, it was all for me. Or I remember, you know, my mom would make half a roll of cookies, and I would take the other half of the cookie dough and hide it in my closet and nibble on it for days, like just gross. and fortunately, I didn't get sick. But that was, yeah, so much part of my disease. And as this disease has progressed and I've gotten older, you know, it became more about hiding myself, hiding in cars, hiding in, you know, the walk-in freezer at my work, wherever it was. And then hiding really, like, who I am. And I would wear these big clothes and hunch over my shoulders. And I was just so ashamed of, like, who I had become that I just had to hide. I catch myself in those, you know, I think that does something to your psychology when you're hiding all the time. And I catch myself with these little dishonesties and what am I really hiding from myself? And so I'm just, yeah, I'm so grateful that this program, you know, there's the principle of of rigorous honesty. And that for me has really been the best medicine to, you know, to find myself again and to really, yeah, just come back and recover from this disease. So I'm very grateful and thank you all for being here with that, I pass.
Thank you, Daisy B. from Idaho, but check Massachusetts too on the member list. Robin P., you're up next, and then Deb E. will follow you.
Thanks so much, Mel. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida, soon to be in Tulum, Mexico tomorrow. You know, it just shows me that, just like the paragraph before, it's darkest before the dawn. You know, little did he know that he was about to just have his whole life changed after this paragraph. And, you know, I'm so grateful because I remember those horrible days of just being so in so much delusion and so much denial and thinking that this time it's going to do it for me, baby. Or how did this happen? Russian roulette, you know, all those horrible thinking, the illusion of being in control in such an out of control way. And, anytime a feeling came up, I literally ran to the food. I had no way to cope with anything. And today I'm so grateful because I have the opposite of that. I have tools and I have, you know, living in 10, 11, and 12 and being of service and having other people be a blessing to me in return. And, you know, just I have relationships in my life. I, you know, beyond my wildest dreams, it's literally that rocket, you know, rocket into the fourth dimension. Like, wow, it's the opposite of having the food be my master. And like, it was literally when, if I had a food thought, I didn't even know I could say no to it. It was like, oh, there's a food thought, gotta go. Now, if I, God forbid, I don't have food thoughts, thank God. But if I did, I have tools and I have solutions and I have God. And I have the recovery, and it's such a miracle of grace. And I'm so grateful that I can see that I can go through life, and life changes without the crutch of food and having to hide the food places and having to work my next fix like a heroin addict. I'm not a food addict today. I'm in recovery, and for that, I'm eternally grateful. Thank you all so much. God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinence day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin P. That's Robin P. from Florida. Next up is Deb E., which will be followed by Colleen. Yet I wanted to let you know in 6 minutes, the lines will be open for additional comments on paragraph 3, page 8 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Page 8, paragraph 3. So get ready after Deb and Colleen share. We'd love to have more on the lineup here today. Hi, Deb. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Deb E., recovered in Israel, and this line, in my kitchen, I think almost pretty much all my binges were always in the kitchen, and they were always late at night after a day of restricting, and then the binging came in the dark at night when I was alone, when no one could see, when I felt like I was, you know, hiding it from the world, and I knew every, you know, it goes back to like my teen years when I was still living at my parents' house, and I knew every creak and crack in the staircase so that I could like walk back up towards the kitchen without making a sound and grab my binge foods and eat. And this line, I think, got me the most in this paragraph. My wife was at work because I would, you know, jump through hoops and do anything I could any minute my husband had time. Like if I was, you know, I would change my plans just to hang out with him. Yet when it came to binging, I would look forward to the nights he was out playing hockey. And those were my worst binges. Those were when I would just go in the kitchen and just eat and eat, knowing he wouldn't be home for several hours. And it just makes me so sad to think about how I chose the food, you know, over being able to hang out with him, you know, no, like on a normal day, I wouldn't want him to be out at all. And yet here I was planning a binge on the nights I knew he would be out. And this last line, I need it before daylight. So it makes me think, you know, what did daylight bring? Daylight brought the reality of the next day. It kind of brought me back to reality. It brought me back to that thinking like, okay, today is going to be different. Today I can do it. It's something's going to be different today, and I'll be able to just restrict, and I won't binge tonight, and it'll be different from now on. And it never was. It always came. The cycle just kept going until I found OA. And I think that's all I have to share for today. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Debbie from Israel. Next up is Colleen, and then we're going to take a group of other people. So get ready. 3 more minutes. Good morning, Colleen.
Good morning, Colleen N. from Florida. I'm recovering every single day by the grace of God. This paragraph, boy, just screams at me, sneaky, because I was so sneaky. I was so sneaky to the point that I controlled not only my own food, everybody else's, and I would obsess with menus and grocery shopping. And when I started this program 148 days ago, I had to delete and unsubscribe to 5 different grocery stores in my emails and text messages and different food, fast food places that I would get like specials for on the daily. It was insane. It was all about sneaking around. I used to laugh and say if I ate in my car, the calories didn't count. So I ate my car frequently. And I used the excuse because it was work. When I had people for dinner or for some kind of event, I made it all about the food because I got to be in the kitchen preparing the food. So I got to sneak eat while I was preparing because I was, you know, tasting it. And then when whatever the event was for the evening was over, I got to clean up all the food. So I ate what, you know, you can't waste it. You don't want to throw it out. That's a sin. That's the world I grew up in. So I had just these little obsessive behaviors around food. I was constantly nibbling, snacking, grazing, whatever you want to call it, sneaking around. And no one was the wiser. You know, nobody caught on until my daughter said, when COVID started, you know, Mom, all you're doing is snacking all day. You should probably look at that. And then that's how I walked into the rooms. So, yeah, I definitely can identify with this paragraph about sneaking around and trying to hide my obsession about food and behaviors and all those things. So I just wanted to share that, and I wish everybody a wonderful day. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Colleen N. from Florida. The lines are now open for additional comments on that paragraph, paragraph 3, page 8. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to... Hang on just 1 second, Christina D. I'm going to chat here a little bit at you, and then we'll get your name. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share... if you hadn't shared a Monday and Friday, we'd ask that you perhaps share tomorrow. And so who did I hear? What was that name?
Lisa G. from Texas?
Not quite Lisa, it was somebody else.
Shawnee D.
Christina D. Is that who it was? Christine D.
Yep.
Okay.
Christina D.
And I heard Rowena.
Shawnee B.
And Shawnee B.
Maggie B.
Maggie B. Let's go with that many there and see how the time allows, and then we'll open it back up if we have more space. So this is what I have. I have Christine D., Lisa G., Rowena K., Shawnee B., and Maggie. Let's start out with Christine. Star one, Christine.
Good morning. This is Christina D. In Sarasota, Florida. Thank you so much for letting me share. I am gratefully recovering, and this meeting is just awesome. And this paragraph, it's really especially a blessing to me to read this paragraph because it's kind of irrelevant, but I'm actually from Akron, Ohio, and when I reread this paragraph, I sat drinking in my kitchen with a certain satisfaction, and I could see the table and the kitchen, and, you know, when I walked through that house, it was years and years after, decades after I got into recovery, and I thought, when I walked through that house, that, oh, it'd be fine, you know, no big deal. I'm very grateful, but it's, you know, it's a house. So I had no idea I would weep the entire way through the house with gratitude, you know, for everything that everyone who paved the way for us, you know, writing the books and making the program and putting everything together. I had no idea I'd be so overwhelmed with gratitude, but I did. I cried through the whole thing. Anyway, I can see that kitchen. And when he says, with a certain satisfaction, I reflected, there was enough gin concealed around the house to carry me through that night and the next day. And boy, I can relate to that obsession, that dependence, that there's no other word, just the obsession. And what I feel so much gratitude about, among many other things right now, is that not only the freedom, but coming into this program, when I first came in 1990, you know, turning to my higher power, I did have faith, for sure, no doubt. I have faith, and I had a relationship with my higher power, but getting up every morning and using my tools and, you know, doing time of reading and praying and meditating and really, really working the steps, with so much, intention and planning. And it wasn't natural for me. It was very awkward. It was very uncomfortable. I didn't think it would ever be comfortable. And I just did it completely out of obedience because I want to work this program and I want the promises that it says I'm going to get, which I have, definitely. But what's so beautiful is when he talks about, you know, is there enough gin stashed around to get me through? And it, to me, brings to mind the dependence on my higher power that has developed and developed and developed through working this program. It's just that now what I used to be obsessed about and constantly turn to get through a moment, you know, with the food, is now that dependence. Okay, thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Christina D., for sharing from Florida. Lisa G., you're next, and then Rowena will follow you.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Lisa G. from Texas, and this paragraph makes me, it's painful. It's unbelievably painful to remember what it was like when I thought I was hiding the food. And it wasn't so much that I hid food around the house, but I hid when I was eating. And I don't know who I thought I was kidding, because I weighed 233 pounds. And it's funny how, not funny haha, but just funny like insane, how I maybe thought people didn't notice that I was fat. And what it did to my insides, what it did to my self-esteem, you know, to lie to myself constantly, you know, to go into the kitchen at night and put handfuls of chocolate in my pockets, handfuls, and then walk into the living room with the rest of my family with just a handful and eat it. And then thinking I was being so surreptitious about sneaking the rest of the, you know, five more handfuls of chocolate, or, you know, getting, I just, you know, all, I don't even want to go into all the different ways, but it's an integrity stealer. It was that way for me to continue to think I was hiding the way I was eating, because I was trying to lie to everybody else. You know, I just probably have a thyroid problem or something like that, which was totally untrue. And I didn't say that, but I kept, every time I went to the doctor, I was like, please check my thyroid. I didn't even want to believe my own lies. So anyways, you know, it's wonderful to have integrity in my own word to myself, that I commit food every day and that I just eat what I commit. And oh man, that feels so, so good. And it helps me to really like myself and to love myself and to know that I'm a person of integrity. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lisa G. And if you'd like to, you can give your state if you want to. But other than that, let's go on to Rowena K.
Hi, my name is Rowena K. from. Thank you. Thanks, Melanie. Hi, my name is Rowena K. from the United Kingdom. Loads of identification with this paragraph. Near the end of that bleak November, I mean, it wasn't just November that was bleak. It was January, February, March, April, May, June. All of it was bleak when I was binging. And my birthday is in November. And, on my birthday, I'd be like, oh, I can't possibly binge. I can't possibly, you know, the birthday is supposed to be happy, but I would usually end up in the food with it. And I'd be, you know, sunk into my sofa watching something watching a movie. And then when he talks about the certain satisfaction, I think, because he says certain satisfaction, he doesn't say satisfaction. So it just kind of, to me, implies like something quite fatalistic about it. Like he's given up. There's just no hope in his words at this point. And I didn't have to conceal anything around the house because, you know, my disease got me into isolation. So there was no one to hide it from. But if I was at work, then I'd have to hide things and steal food. And people knew, but I thought they didn't. You know, they could see. I always thought that, you know, I'd have enough binge food to get me through the night and more than enough because I'd get sick eventually, like not throw up, but just be so sick I couldn't eat anymore. And then I'd convince myself that I could throw the rest of it away because I wouldn't need it the next day because there's no way I'd binge tomorrow. But sure enough, I used to sometimes take it out the bin or go down to the supermarket and just buy more. I mean, if it wasn't for this program, I'd still be doing that today. And you know, just the things I've learned about entire abstinence, you know, my allergy to anything with sugar in it, even if it's hidden, and my mental obsession. And you know, now I have red flags that come up and tell me, you know, like if I start changing my meal times, if I start eating my snacks early, and if I start eating volume, you know, like I know these are signs for me. So I never go straight into the food. There's always like a bridge that I can cross over to, you know, and that bridge for me is moving my food times, making them earlier. And, you know, just, yeah, stuff like that. So I'm feeling pretty grateful today for this program and my abstinence. So thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Rowena Kay from the UK. Next up is Shawnee B, followed by Maggie. And those will be the last two shares for today. And each one could have probably just shy of 2.5 minutes, please.
Hi, this is Shawnee.
So you're up for
Hi, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Sorry.
I am a recovering compulsive eater located in Southern Florida. And this paragraph reminds me of something that my sponsor told me, and I pray every single day for the willingness and ability. When I started working with my sponsor, she said, no matter what, be honest, you know, like no matter what happens in your food plan, come to me, tell me. And I was like, I hate that. First of all, that's so annoying. But what I began to understand as I began to recover is that the addict by nature is dishonest. At our core, we have such deep dishonesties. And what this paragraph really, once again, shines a light to me is our dishonesties are so deep and they truly manifest in many ways, and for me, within the food. And it started from a very, very young age. And so today I'm so lucky that every day, like I was in the middle of sentence before, every day when I get up, I really ask God that no matter what, he should give me the willingness and the ability to be honest, no matter what comes my way, however badly I want to not be honest. I have this opportunity to be honest so that I can recover one day at a time. And I just feel so blessed to have that willingness to just to be honest, no matter, you know, no matter what it takes. So thanks for letting me share. Have a blessed day, everyone.
Thank you so much, Shawnee B. And Maggie, you're up next. Looks like you're going to need 3 minutes because of the time that Shawnee couldn't take. You're ready.
Well, I don't know if I'll take, I don't know if I'll take that full 3 minutes. I still have my frog voice. So good morning. Mm-hmm. This is Maggie B. in Northern California. And sorry, guys. When I read, so every time I read this passage or this paragraph, and I, you know, near the end of that bleak November, I sat drinking in my kitchen. And when we go through the book and I come to this paragraph, I remember being a child and growing up. I had 8 kids in the family, so it wasn't a matter of hiding food, you know, just binge foods. It was like you hid all of your food. And if you didn't get to the table and get the food that you needed, I mean, it was like survival of the fittest. It was pretty, you know, pretty rough. I still have like memories of saving like the middle of a watermelon, you know, the heart of a watermelon, and my sister just coming in and stealing it from me. And it's like, what, I'm in my 60s and I'm still, you know, angry about that. Well, not really, but it's something that I remember. And in October, I just remember thinking, being in my early adult years and thinking, just dreading October, November, and December, because I knew that I was going to put on like 10 or 15 pounds because of all of those holidays. And today, as an adult, a very mature adult, biologically at least, there are things that are happening in my life and with people in my life. Like, I had a dear friend that died 2 months ago from this disease, and he actually is the one that turned me on to some of the OA programs that he could never pick up and, you know, surrender his disease. And I'm just so grateful to be able to go through this book and find something new every year and every time I work it with my sponsor or other groups, to remind me that I don't have to do this alone. I have you all, and I have God, most importantly God. And I was just so resistant to bringing God into my life, or not that I was, just having that understanding or being willing to just hand it over. And I heard Mo, I think it was, say, I don't know if it was yesterday, that you know, I wanted that being propelled into the fourth dimension. And it was like, I'm waiting for that bright light to be struck. And when she said, you know, maybe it's just not having that desire to eat, to have that compulsion lifted, it was like, it just hit me. And it was like, oh my God, that's right. It has been lifted. And I don't know if it'll stay lifted. I know I have to keep working at this, but to have a tool and to be able to, at least at the more later years of my life, find that peace and stop struggling like I have been all my life, I'm so grateful. And again, it takes what it takes, right? And with that, I pass. So this is Maggie B. in Sacramento, actually Roseville. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Maggie. Maggie B. from California. And that does conclude the sharing part of our meeting this morning. Thank you to all that shared this morning and for those that were in service to make this meeting possible for the entire month of September. Hopefully you're sticking around to be a part of the workforce. And if you haven't been in the workforce, consider doing so. Grateful to have that. So let's get started with closing out the recorded portion of the meeting, if you would, please. And we'll do that by having Brandy M. please read on page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And we'll follow that with a serenity prayer. Then we'll transition to the last 10 minutes of the unrecorded meeting. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning, Melanie. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive eater in Canada. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own health is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you safe.